Please turn to Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To get to the rich pastures of the mountains, the sheep had to go through the valleys. The valleys were the best routes to the top because the valleys had the gentlest grades and slopes and were well watered. Rich pastures were found here too. In the cool mountains of the summertime, the shepherd and the sheep are very close. The shepherd is constantly on the lookout for his sheep and for predators that would destroy them. Many predators would hide in the deep ravines and the shadows of the steep cliffs that hovered over narrow valley floors. They would hide and wait to ambush their prey. You could actually call this type of area the valley of the shadow of death, because it was difficult, it was a dangerous, it was a deadly area. Death lurked in these areas. David, the psalmist, went through many valleys in his life. Our valleys are part of our lives, whether we like it or not. They are the difficult times of our lives, which may include sickness, financial loss, disgrace, betrayal, getting old, bereavement, disappointment, death. The phrase shadow of death in the Hebrew includes our dark and our bitter experiences. It is in our valleys that we often spiritually mature and get close to the Lord. Valleys are usually not pleasant, and the trials they bring tend to linger for a while. The valleys, we walk through them instead of run through them. But praise the Lord, we go through them with his help and his presence. This is why David did not fear his valleys, because the Lord was with him. God was with others who went through the valley of the shadow of death. If you remember, the Lord never left Elijah's side when he confronted the prophets of Baal and when he was pursued by Jezebel and Ahab. God was with a disobedient Jonah when he was inside the belly of the great fish and then entered Nineveh by himself to preach against their sins. He never left the side of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. He walked with them through the fire. God was present with Daniel when he was entertained by the lions in their den. Paul was stoned and left for dead, but the Lord was with him. He did not bring him home to glory until the Lord was ready for him to come home. God gave these people courage and peace in the dangerous and desperate hours of their lives. Because the Lord is with us, brothers and sisters, because the Lord is with us, we can walk through our valleys with confidence. The just shall live by faith. They shall walk by faith, moment by moment, with the walk by faith through our valleys. The word walk in the Hebrew indicates a firm step, not a timid, fearful one, for the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We can go through our valleys with confidence, with assurance, with peace, and a decisiveness, because God is always with us. The Lord is with us when we're weak. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. The Lord is with us when we're weak. The Lord is also with us when we are weeping. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, and he says unto you and I, brothers and sisters, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, when we're in the valleys. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ resting upon us. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Lord is with us when we're weak. The Lord is with us when we are weeping. The Lord is with us when we are weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Lord is with us when we're weak, when we're weeping, when we're weary. The Lord is with us when we are forsaken by this world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Shadows cannot harm us, though they can scare us sometimes, whether it is the shadow of a lion, a tiger, a bear, whatever, you fill in the blank. None of their shadows can hurt us, for they are shadows. The shadow of death cannot separate the Christian from everlasting life or from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37-39. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that includes you and I, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As frightening as death may seem, it can neither hurt us nor destroy the child of God. In his book, Facing Death, Billy Barnhouse relates an experience of Donald Gray Barnhouse, one of America's leading Bible teachers in the first half of the 20th century. Cancer took his first wife, leaving him with 3 children, all under 12. On the day of the funeral, Barnhouse and his family were driving to the service when a large truck passed them, casting a noticeable shadow across their car. Turning to his oldest daughter, who was staring sadly out the window, Barnhouse asks, "Tell me, sweetheart, would you rather be run over by that truck or its shadow?" Looking curiously at her father, she replied, "By the shadow, I guess. It can't hurt you." Speaking to all his children, he said, "Your mother has not been overridden by death, but by the shadow of death. That is nothing to fear, brothers and sisters." As David speaks of death, notice that there's a change in the chapter. He no longer speaks about the shepherd. He speaks to the shepherd. No longer about the shepherd. He speaks to the shepherd. Death or the fear of death can cause a person to get personal with God. David says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd defends his sheep with his rod and his staff." The rod was a weapon of power, of authority, and defense. It was about 2 feet in length with a sharp point on one end and a fork on the other for securing snakes. Some rods had a ball or a knot at one end with stones or metal pounded into it. It was used in disciplining or chastening, by being thrown at wayward sheep or at lambs that were too close to poisonous weeds. The shepherd would also use his sling to hurl rocks near wayward sheep to bring them back. The rod was also used to comfort the lambs as the shepherd examined the sheep and counted them. He would part the wool with the rod, looking for parasites or wounds. The rod was also dipped in dye so the shepherd could mark every tenth lamb to give to the Lord. The staff was the tool of concern and comfort. The shepherd would lean upon it for support and strength. He used it to draw the sheep together in intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship. Brothers and sisters, the trials and tribulations that come into your life is to cause you to draw nearer to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, to increase your intimate fellowship with him. The lambs were lifted to their mothers with the staff. The shepherd would use it to guide the sheep by tapping them if they were straying, and it would comfort them by getting them out of thorns and dangerous situations. The word of God, brothers and sisters, is the rod of God for us. It has power, authority, and is used for our defense. It is the sword of the Spirit. It comforts and chastens us. The word of God searches us too, like the rod of the shepherd. It helps us to examine ourselves. The Holy Spirit is like the staff used by our shepherd. He supports and strengthens us, drawing us together as the staff draws the sheep together. He guides, he comforts us, and gets us untangled. Untangled. How often we get tangled in this world. Thank God for the rod and the staff and for God's protection. Jesus is our protector, who was willing to die for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord comforts us because he is with us and watches over us, according to the Bible. How does God comfort us? And what does he use to bring comfort? I'll be dealing with this in the next message, but I will just say two things about the Lord bringing comfort. He has promised us comfort. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Christ speaking. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but, brothers and sisters, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. The word consolation can be rendered comfort. Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is our comfort. Christ is all. And we can say, as the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice, for thou art with me. Me, personal relationship, brothers and sisters. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we would fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What a scripture to comfort the saints of God. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should fear. For it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the only way for you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. For Christ has taken upon him the wages of sin. For all that would trust in him, they could stand before the thrice holy God and not fear. For the righteousness of Christ is imputed to the account of everyone who believeth. And everyone who believeth not, the scripture says, is condemned already. So yes, if you do not know Christ, you should fear death. You should be terrified of death. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. My friend, what will you say in that day that you stand before the holy God? Will you stand before him in your self-righteousness, your sin, your seeming good works? Or will you stand before the holy God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Come, all ye that labor and are weary and are heavy laden. And Christ says, I will give you rest.